Martin Lloyd-Jones had to spend some time away from his wife in the fall of 1939. He wrote to her and said, "The idea that I shall become used to being without you is really funny. I could speak for a long time on the subject. As I've told you many, many times, the passing of the years does nothing but deepen and intensify my love for you. When I think of those days in London in 1925 and 26, when I thought that no greater love was possible, I could laugh. But honestly, during the last year, I had come to believe that it was not possible for a man to love his wife more than I loved you. And yet I see that there is no end to love, and that it is still true that absence makes the heart grow fonder. I am quite certain that there is no lover anywhere writing to his girl, who is quite as mad about her as I am. Indeed, I pity those lovers who are not married." Lloyd-Jones was a man who had a good wife. As such, he received favor from the Lord. And this is the reality that we will read about in our scripture text for this afternoon. But before we look to that passage, though, allow me just to say a brief word. Because our text will speak of the goodness of marriage, but for some people, the subject of marriage can be hard. Some are single who want to be married. Some bear the scars of sins committed against them within marriage. Others live with the regret of sins that they have committed in marriage. And while those pains do not undermine the goodness of marriage, those pains are nevertheless real. And if you find yourself in one of those positions or something similar this afternoon, let me just encourage you to cast those burdens upon the Lord. The Lord uses these things, even the hurts of this life, to draw us to himself. And so if you find yourself in a situation this afternoon where the goodness of marriage seems a little bit removed from you for some reason or other, allow that to draw you closer to the Lord and find grace and rest in him. And so if you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to our scripture text, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Solomon writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." The words of this text are simple and to the point. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, as we consider these words, the first thing we need to do is to make a caveat. And that is that we should understand that when Solomon says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord," what is implied and meant is he who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It's not just any wife who should be reckoned as a good thing, just like not every husband should be reckoned as a good thing. Rather, it is the good wife who should be reckoned as a good thing. That's how we should understand this verse, and this becomes evident based on a couple of considerations. For one, the adjective good is sometimes not expressed, but certainly implied in the Proverbs. And so, for example, we read in Proverbs 15:10, "Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die." Well, what is the way that's being spoken of there? It's the good way, the way of life. If you forsake the good, there's grievous punishment that will follow. If someone forsakes the evil way, there's not punishment, but rather great blessing that is in store for them. And likewise, and perhaps even more forcefully, Proverbs 22, verse 1. We commonly know that verse as saying, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." But in point of fact, the word "good" is not in the original text. Our English translators have supplied that, and certainly that is what is meant. It's not just any name that is to be more desired than great wealth, but it's a good name that is to be more desired than great wealth. And secondly, we know from other proverbs that not every wife is a good wife, and therefore not every wife is a blessing. And so Proverbs 19:13 states, a foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Proverbs 21:9 and 25:24 state nearly the same thing when they say, it is better to live on the corner of a roof than in a house that is shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:19 says roughly the same thing, but a little bit differently. It's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. And we read similarly in Proverbs 27, and the repetition of this theme again and again should give us the idea that contentious family relationships are really a big deal to Solomon. Solomon surely would not say that one who had married a contentious woman had obtained a good thing and received favor from the Lord. And to put the matter to rest, Proverbs 12:4 tells us, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Let the matter rest there. It was for man's benefit and man's good that the Lord created Eve for Adam in the garden. The Lord said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. The implication then is that it was a good thing for the Lord to give to Adam this helper in the form of a woman to be his wife. And so we could say that in that sense, women are a necessary good, not a necessary evil, but a necessary good given by God. Indeed, the New England Puritan John Cotton said, women are creatures without which there is no comfortable living for man. They are a sort of blasphemers who despise and decry them and call them a necessary evil, for they are a necessary good. When Eve was brought to her husband, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam found a good thing and received favor from the Lord. It was not good for him to be alone, and God made a helper suitable for him. And so as we seek to meditate on this text of Proverbs 18:22, what is this good wife like? This good wife whom is found by a man and he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. How shall we describe this woman? Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31 describe this woman at great length, and it would be certainly beyond our scope and beyond our time to fully exposit that text on the wife of noble character. But nevertheless, this should be our go-to place in Scripture if we have any questions about what the good wife is like. And just a perusal of Proverbs 31 reveals that the woman described there is trustworthy, she's hardworking, she's diligent, she's financially savvy, she's concerned for the well-being of others, both those within her family and those outside her family who are in need. She is strong and dignified. She is wise and kind. And of course, the foundation and cornerstone for all of these characteristics of which we read in Proverbs 31 is what we find in Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It's the fear of the Lord that is the foundation and cornerstone of what makes for a good wife. And for that matter, it's the fear of the Lord that's the foundation and cornerstone that makes a husband good as well. And certainly without the fear of the Lord, neither the husband nor the wife will be of any eternal good to the other. A good wife, as Matthew Henry put it, will not only contribute more than anything to his comfort in this life, but will forward him in the way to heaven. And it would not be too much to say that this goes both ways. The good wife will contribute more than anything else to the comfort of her husband in this life and help him on the road to heaven. And likewise, the good husband will do the same for his wife. He will bring her comfort more than anything else in this life and likewise put her forward on the way to heaven. And thus it is that we read in 1 Peter 3:7 that husbands are to live with their wives in an understanding way, as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And in Ephesians 5:25, that husbands are to love their own wives as Christ loved the church. If a husband is living with his wife in an understanding way and is loving his wife as Christ loved the church, then He's going to be concerned both for her physical and spiritual well-being. In this way, marriage is good for both the husband and the wife as they seek the well-being of one another temporally here in this world and spiritually, seeking eternal good for each other according to the distinct roles that God has prescribed for husband and wife. The husband being the head of the wife and loving his wife sacrificially, and the wife submitting to and respecting her husband. When Sam Watkins came to the conclusion of his memoir of the Civil War, he wrote lovingly of his wife and the comfort and joy that she brought to him. And he said, "Before me, too, I see not in imagination, but in reality, my own loved Jenny, the partner of my joys and the sharer of my sorrows, sustaining, comforting, and cheering my pathway by her benignant smile, pouring the sunshine of domestic comfort and happiness upon our humble home, making life more worth the living. As we toil on up the hill of time together, with the bright pledges of our early and constant love by our side, while the sunshine of hope ever brightens our pathway, dispelling darkness and sorrow as hand in hand we approach the valley of the great shadow." This is the temporal blessing of marriage, this mutual companionship and encouragement of one to the other that spouses give to each other, serving one another, loving one another, making life better for each other here in a fallen world. But then, more importantly, of course, is the spiritual aspect. Earth and its pleasures and sorrows will one day pass away, and all of us need to be looking towards eternity. And for those of us who are married, we need to be looking out not only for the eternal well-being of our soul, but also for the eternal well-being of our spouse. And we do this by serving each other as fellow Christians and walking hand in hand together as fellow Christians. Certainly this takes place in the broader context of the church, where we covenant with one another to help one another live as Christians here in this world, and to help one another for their good. But how much more does this take place in marriage between two Christians? If Christians within the context of the church are to be encouraging one another and building one another up, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, how much more should this be the case in a Christian marriage? If Christians in the church are, as we read in Hebrews 10:24, to be considering how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, how much more should this be the case in marriage, as a husband and wife seek to help one another serve the Lord? In marriage, we can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, pointing one another toward Christ. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that two are better than one, for if one falls down, the other can help him up. This likewise is what should be happening in a Christian marriage, as we seek to be quick to forgive and quick to direct our spouses to Christ. And if any has a spouse who is unbelieving, then let them see your pure and respectful conduct, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, so that they may be one without a word. A good and godly spouse is a gift from the Lord. As we read in our text, "He who finds a wife, that is a good wife, finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And so, praise God this afternoon if you have received such a gift. If you're a husband and you've been given a good wife, praise God for that. If you're a wife and you've been given a good husband, praise God for that. And seek to be that kind of gift to your spouse if you are married. Seek to be that kind of good spouse, that good husband or wife who makes life in this world more worth the living and is also encouraging and building up and stirring up your spouse toward good deeds, helping them up when they fall, being kind and gracious. Comfort and support one another in this life and point one another toward Christ as a fellow heir of the grace of Christ with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for the gift of marriage, and we ask that you would help as many of us as are married to be a good husband or a good wife and to serve and love our spouse. We pray for those who are not married, for whatever the reason. Lord, we pray that you would comfort and strengthen hearts, and let us all look to you, and let us all long for that day when even earthly marriage will be no more, but rather we will be your people at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will be yours, united with you forever. We give praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.